17 today. Thank you, Father. The children are dismissed for children's ministry. But everybody take your Bibles this morning, your iPads, your iPhones. Amen. Whatever you have the Word of God on this morning. First Kings chapter 17 today. First Kings chapter 17. Are you trying to give me? Amen. Just a little bit more, brother. But I know that Jennifer handed these out this morning. And it's not going to just be question and answers. They're going to minister. And I've asked them to do this for 3 years. And Karen is the mother over these girls, and she is the mother of this house. And I think that it's without question the character, the dignity, and the love that Karen has for you and for this house. And how many knows it takes a mother and a father to bring about a birthing in a house? And without the agreement that Karen and I have, we are not strong. We are strong individually. If one of us was gone, the other one, I'm sure, could make it. Amen. And because we have the Lord always. But it's imperative to know, too, is that in this time that I think that one of the institutions that are more under attack than any institution right now is the institution of marriage. And that we live in a society. I see a lot of people railing on Facebook, and I understand some of you have strong opinions, and that's cool. You just got to remember that your opinion is not just your opinion. When people see your opinion, they see Cornerstone Church. They see me as your pastor. So you got to prayerfully consider your ways. Are you asking us to compromise? Well, I think if you know me by now, I'm not a very compromising person. And I will have ultimate patience and mercy with anybody, but I will only go so far. But I think that the power that we have is not the power that we have on Sunday mornings, because whatever we've learned, here is where that we examine the size, the metrics of everything that we're doing on Sunday morning. But the real evidence of the church is not here on Sunday. The real evidence of the church is on Monday. Because whoever we are, whatever we are, if we can't carry what we have on Sunday to Monday, it doesn't do any good. Amen. We're just a group. And I know that we're not, and that we are progressively growing in Christ. But we know that to be the case in a sense, and that's why that we come together on Sundays. And everything that we do with purpose and for reason. And I love ministering on Mother's Day, but I've asked Karen and I've asked the girls to do this. And they want to give opportunity. I believe also it's an opportunity for you to ask them questions. You don't have to put your name down, you know. Well, I would be embarrassed if my name was on it. Amen. Well, we have handwriting experts, so we're going to know anyway. So, but if this is an opportunity that you want to ask what it takes, because I don't think anybody could answer the questions more deeply between Karen and Jennifer and Carissa, you cover a spectrum of life that you're not going to get everywhere. And I know that God has made us an unusual family, and God has given us an anointing. We don't lift up our family as if we would lift up our family better than yours. But how many believes that God has given our family, and especially the women of our family, some extraordinary things in their life and some wisdom that God would love to impart to you and to you ladies? How many believe that? Amen. I want to say something to you too is that one of the things, and Chris is not here this morning. They're up in Ohio trying to finish some things before Steve starts his new job. And I follow Carissa, and Carissa has a ministry that really is outside the church that she ministers to many women that their children have the same defect as Grayson does in his heart. And she ministers on a regular basis. I mean, day and night, she gets texts of desperate mothers I mean, if you could only imagine how that, because of who we were and because of having some assimilation of knowledge and being aware of certain things, we would have been left in the lurch. Many of these babies are born, listen to me, many of these babies are born. There's no, even though that it can be born, there was people up there who were wealthy, okay, and had the baby and it had the heart defect. But many of these babies are being born to women who are in poverty and are not married, who are in relationships. And I can tell you that as strong of a relationship that Steve and Carissa had, I can tell you that it stretched it to the absolute breaking point more than one time. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, Steve and Carissa would have, I can only tell you, how much the financial load, the lack of mercy, the lack of understanding, the system is absolutely insane, especially the insurance system. And so God graciously has taken them through, has brought them on the other side. But she has a tremendous ministry. I watched her this week as she ministered to a bunch of women, and the grace, the knowledge, the experience that she has about motherhood, about being able to work and how to take care of children. And so here's an opportunity. And I know the men were like, well, then, you know, why do I got to come for, you know, if it's just about women? Because you live with one? And I would say that would probably be the day that you'd want to come and support her, amen, and encourage her to get something good and get something strong that day. I think it's going to be a powerful Sunday. I think there's going to be a powerful anointing on it. I think the word of the Lord is going to be upon these three ladies. I believe that it is a launching in both of them, in Jennifer and Carissa, for more ministry. And so I encourage you, ladies, take that sheet, write down your questions, and because it's going to be more than that. But it's going to be a really different day, a beautiful day in the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I'm looking to learn some things. Amen. Amen. I'm going to fill out a sheet. My name ain't going to be on it. I'm going to type it. I'll have somebody else write it. But how many knows I'm going to learn some things that day? Amen. Come on, say, Pastor, you're going to learn some things that day. Some questions you were too afraid to ask. The three of them, but you're going to ask in a crowd because you're safe here with us. Come on. How many is in agreement with Pastor this morning? Wave your hand. Amen. There you go. And look, it was all men. There was like two or three women. Amen. So we encourage you. Next Sunday is going to be a wonderful day here. Continue to pray for us. Got some really bad news yesterday. My mother fell and broke her hip. And they rushed her to the hospital, and would you know it, the little town they were in did not have a surgeon. And so they had to move her from there over to Blacksburg. And so over to Montgomery County, they've got her there. They've taken her into surgery this morning. But the good thing of it is today is that she's not going to have a hip replacement. And we prayed. I was all night praying this morning. And so she's not going to have a hip replacement. They're just having to put a pin in. There was a good break. It was there. Sometimes we don't always understand, well, why doesn't this? I think that if you're not careful, you get caught up with a why it didn't work out this way situation, that what happens is this, you'll get lost. Are you listening to me? Once you get lost in that, then what happens? It takes away, it diminishes and pulls your faith down. How many hears it? And you don't want that. So I rejoice in this fact that Mama is not going to have a hip replacement. They say she's possibly going to go home, but I'm going to go spend a couple days with her next week. And Matthew is going to be, I haven't told Matthew yet. Is he in here? Yeah. Guess who's ministering Wednesday? Amen. All right, 1 Kings chapter 17. We missed you if you weren't here, and I know there was a lot of people that was gone. I appreciate Robert Paul Lamb and Debbie ministering for us last Sunday and for the good work that they did for covering the house. And we got a lot of good reports from them. Amen. And so we thank God for you. Thank God for us. and for what God's doing here in 1 Kings chapter 17. I've been ministering, started it on Wednesday night. I tried to a week ago and could not get it out the way that God had given to me. But Wednesday night, we began to minister on Abraham. And we were ministering on this thought. If you have a piece of paper, and Stephen Furtick, Furtick, thank you, dear. And had a similar thought. It's something that was there, but I think he put it into context for me in what we were ministering. And that is, God will feed you what you need for the season you are in. And God had been speaking to me is that many times the reason why that we become frustrated, why that we become weary, is because either that we are using faith that has not been given to us. Are you listening to me? Because we may be in a season or not discerning the proper season that we're in. Because if you are trying to discern the season that you're in and you're trying to borrow faith from tomorrow, then what's going to happen is that you eventually are going to be bankrupt in your faith. Abraham was not Abraham at first. He was Abram. We know by the word of God, and we see there that what God first had to do is that he had to plant the seed of the vision and then give him faith to fulfill it. So stay with me just for a few minutes, because I want to lay this foundation to you here, is that God never gives you something that he does not give you faith. Are you hearing me? God does not give you faith to fulfill it. Amen? Because he knows without a vision, the people perish. Amen? See, we ask ourselves, well, why is this relationship perishing? Why is my job perishing? Why is my life perishing? I want you to know that it's not the believer. If the believer is perishing, something is wrong. We're not talking about going through a test. We're not talking about going through a trial. We're not talking about our faith being tested. We're talking about perishing. We're talking about dying. We're starving because there is no sustenance in our life. There is nothing that is being given to us in our life. And because there is no sustenance there, we become weak and weary because there's nothing to sustain us. Look at somebody right now and tell them, faith sustains. Faith doesn't get weary. Faith doesn't get tired. Faith does not come about because of your feelings. Faith is not a feeling. Turn to somebody and tell them, faith is not a feeling. I want you to know something. Even in your worst moment, listen to me. If you will read the New Testament and you will see the Gospels, what you will see there is this. That there was never a time that anybody was on a high when they had faith. Uh-oh. Come on now. Come on now. We look at faith as there is, I really feel good. I've got faith right now. More than likely, you've got, you know, some warm, fuzzy feelings right now. Because I want you to know something. I don't need faith when I'm on the mountain. I don't need faith when I'm high, when I'm already walking in the blessing. How many knows that when we look at the New Testament, we see people who were dead, people who were blind, people who were crippled, people who were possessed. But at that moment, there was faith that was given to them. So feeling has nothing to do with it. There's never a place in the Word where it says that I felt like I was healed. I feel that I can make it now. How many knows your feelings will lie to you? But how we know is as we looked at Abraham's life, we've seen him as he began the journey. He had to have something that was going to carry him, because eventually he was going to stand on a mountain with a knife in his hand, and he was going to lay his only begotten son, the seed that God had promised him to be the father of many nations, and he would have his hand raised, ready to sacrifice his son. But I want you to know, it didn't begin on that mountain. It began in that lonely place as he looked up to the stars of heaven and saw the sands of the sea. And God said, here is the vision I'm giving for your life. In that moment, faith was imparted to Abram. The seed was deposited. God didn't come to Abraham and said, now there's just something I need you to know as you read this contract. There is some fine print. Are you hearing me? I need you to read the fine print of this faith contract that you're coming into agreement with me. Something you need to know. Things are not going to work out the way you think. You're going to have to walk 25 years. Amen? You're going to have to walk 25 years believing this promise. Here's something else. When you got saved, did anybody lean down to your ear and said, man, you know, boy, hell's going to come against you right now. You're getting saved. You're getting saved right now. And you've given your heart to God. And I know you feel real good. And I don't want to be a buzzkill, but I need to let you know, man, it's going to really get hard. Amen? Nobody leaned down and said, hey, you need to get ready. There's going to be some real suffering in your life, brother. Aren't you excited now? Come on, let's serve Jesus. Amen? Nobody grasped you, they hugged you and said, oh, welcome to the family of God. Now you're going to face cancer in your life. Oh, come on, let's praise God together right now. Are you listening to me? See, the reason why is because God is smarter than you and I. And what God says to you and I is this, is that I've not given you faith for the mountain yet. I've not given you the faith to take and to give the very promise that I have given to you to sacrifice it. Because what you need faith for now is to get up on your 2 feet, take your family, and move on down the road until I speak to you again. Because there's going to be circumstances, and in those places, I'm going to build your character because I'm building you and preparing you, but I'm not giving you any more faith than for what you need right now. Because Hebrews tells us this. Faith is always now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, what we want, we think we can eat the whole elephant, but God doesn't give us the whole elephant. But God does give us, because truthfully, we are blind to a lot of things when we get saved. And that's the way that God gives it. I mean, please, we don't take Grayson and put him upon our laps. And his mama says, now Grayson, I need to inform you, he's 18 months old. I mean, his attention span is about the length of a flea. We don't put him up on our lap. His mama don't put Grayson on his lap. Now, Grayson, I need to explain your heart defect to you so that you'll be able to walk this out properly, with dignity. Grayson screams and says, let me down. I want to play. I want to go run. Isn't it amazing that what God has placed within him, even though he only has half of a heart, what God has placed in him is a desire to live life. There is not a desire. Let me tell you what happens, because we are created in the image of God. Even though that he logically cannot explain the defect in him, every molecule and cell in his body screams out and says, I want to live. I want to run. I want to play. I want to experience life. I want to get in things I shouldn't get into. I want to know what it feels like to cry and to laugh and to have fun and sleep and enjoy life. But here we are, the mature ones. We have to know it all. And God, tell me why. And I want to tell you why. Tell me why, God. Why am I going through this? And I want to tell you why. I want you to be obedient, to walk out today. And I want to walk out today. I need you to believe for today. See, we're missing a lot of life because we really don't know how to live. We know how to complain. Some of us got a degree in it. We got a doctorate in it. It's the first thing that comes out of our mouth when things begin to happen. Well, look, I'm not criticizing you this morning. I don't want you to feel that. I just want you to understand that's the nature. That is what happens. See, again, I want to encourage you this morning. That is the key to our life, to be able to move outside of where we are and walk in our faith, because the thing that sustains my faith is praise, is worship, is a thankful heart, is a thankful heart. Because I want you to know, if I cannot see Him high and lifted up, if I cannot see Him high and lifted up, that means I am high and lifted up. That means I've exalted my problems, my issues in my life, and I no longer can see Him. All I can see is me. Well, that was Abraham. It's interesting here in 1 Kings chapter 17, that's basically where we were. If you want to hear the message in its entirety, then you can go online and listen to that. If you need a hard copy, let us know. Let the sound people know so that we can get you a copy of that. Amen? But I want you to see this today, because here in 1 Kings chapter 17, is it all right? Just let me read some of it to you today, because God has given me some things and I just want to give them to you. Is that all right? I just want to feed you what God has fed me with this week. And look here in chapter 17 and verse 1. This is the second part of the series on faith for the now. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, faith is for the now. I just can't see tomorrow. Well, that's because God hasn't given you faith for tomorrow. Well, I want to understand if this relationship's going to work out. Well, you need to know this, is that whatever you have, as long as you own it, you'll never have faith for it. Said, as long as you're the owner of your time, as long as you're the owner of your money, as long as you're the owner of your house, your car, your job, your social time, your schedule, your calendar, as long as you are Lord over it, you're not going to have sufficient faith to walk it out. The only way that you can have faith for whatever you are, whoever you are, everything must be in His hands, because if it's in your hands, you're never going to have faith for it, because it's going to eventually become too heavy for you to be able to carry it. Amen? I used to laugh when Karen, in our process of marriage, I would get hurt, and she said, well, how do you feel? And I said, well, you can't hurt steel. Amen? You can't hurt steel. I've been a strong person most of my life. Physically, in the early part of my early years, they didn't know I had a brain. All they could see was this body. And I physically have worked hard all my life. I mean, any job I had, it was a physical job. It was a back-breaking job, whether it was working in a quarry or a mill or something. For years, that's what I did. I worked hard physically and enjoyed it. And I've worked with my brain. I've worked both sides. I've been fortunate that I've worked with my back and I've worked with my brain. There's been times where I worked with my brain. I wish that I could work with my back. Hey, listen to me. Amen. Because of all the responsibility. But I want to share something with you is this. There will be something that will always come to your life. Because, see, you belong to Him. See? And God has you in the palm of His hand. And God wants to shape and mold your life. And when you say, God, take my life, use my life, control my life, God is going to put you into circumstances. Uh-oh. I said, God is going to put you into circumstances to shape you in to that individual. See, you need to understand, God listens to His children. God listens to you. And He listens to the words that we say. And I want you to know that God heard that. And even though that we let it go and we moved on with our life, God has heard it. And I want you to know that His desire for you, because you are His workmanship, you are the very creation that He set in place from the foundations of the world. He knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. God knew who you were. God had a divine plan for your life. And even though it seems like your life is helter-skelter, and it seems like your life has been a series of tragedies, I'm here to tell you is that is not your eventual end up place. Not good English, but it is true. See, God has, and God has sent you on the trajectory that you're there, and even though others have tried to send you in a different trajectory, how many knows that God has always called you and redirected your life because He has a plan for you? Even like Abraham, even though you may stick your finger in God's plan for your life and we mess it. There you go. Amen? How many has a degree in messer-uppers? Come on. How many has a doctorate degree? And Pastor, I can mess things up so quick. Oh, Lord. Amen? Man, you know what? It takes a lot of time to build a house. But one match. See, that's what James was talking about. He said, the smallest member is the strongest member and the most destructive member. It's like a... And when that tongue strikes the rough places in our life, when your tongue, when you're in a rough place in your life, and instead of praise and thanksgiving come out, I tell you what, not in my notes, not where I was going, but it's okay. If you are in that place of difficulty, you're in that place to where you are pressed in on every side, you will always be given a choice, either life or death. From your tongue will either come a praise and a thankful heart, or your tongue will strike on that rough place, and you'll begin to gripe and complain, and a fire will get started. And there you are trying to put out that fire in your life, and you cannot. The only way you're going to put out the fire of that thing is shut your mouth, recreate the words in your mouth, begin to give God thanks, repent in your heart, and let God, with the washing of His word, the water of His word, put that thing out in your life. When Abraham was struck with the situation that it's not working. Come on, tell somebody. It's not working. Amen. How many's ever said that? It's not working. I mean, you may have had a few adjectives or expletives that you may have added to that. It's not working. It's not working. And I like it because we never look down and say, it's not working. We always look up and say, it's not working. Amen? Like God doesn't know what's going on in your life. See, we believe this is a merit badge. Relationship. We have worked hard, Lord, and we have done certain things. And Lord, I've been faithful for 3 days praying and reading my Bible. I fasted Taco Tuesday. Lord, I haven't beat my cat for a month now. Lord, this has got to earn me something. Right? This is going to earn me something. I mean, Lord, I'm not cheating on my taxes. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't do anything. Lord, I'm good. I've stopped swearing every other day. Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Lord, but it's not working. That's because you're not the Lord of the harvest. You're not the Lord of the harvest. We're not the Lord of the harvest. See, we have to understand today is that, look, God pays you by the day. God pays you with faith every day. God gives you a measure of faith every day to walk out what you have. And what your heart should be is, God, let me, with every issue, with every ounce of myself, walk out that faith that you have given me today. Why? Because tomorrow His mercies are going to be brand new again. It doesn't matter how bad today is. It doesn't matter how hard today is. It doesn't matter how bad and tragic it is. All we have to do is reach out and grab the gift of mercy that God has poured into our life, because it's brand new today. It doesn't matter what happened last night at the stroke of midnight, because 1 minute after midnight, God began to pour His mercy into my life and said, here it is, by faith take it and rejoice in it. But it's not working, God. It's not working because you're trying to understand something that cannot be understood by logic, because faith doesn't make sense to your feelings. Doesn't make sense. It's silly, isn't it? You're sick and you're praying for healing and you're still sick. Here's just a thought. I wonder if we could look into the annals of God, and God would give us and let us with a picture look. See, here's the problem. Number one is many times we wait until we are in the middle of something to pray. When we are going down for like the fifth or sixth time under the water, then we want to cry out. See, we have made no preparation. See, I want you to think about this. What a tragedy that somebody would discover a whole family that had starved to death and went to the cupboards and there were cans of food. Not a variety, but just cans of pork and beans. Are you hearing me? But they starved to death. And the note they left was, we got tired of pork and beans. And what was their harvest? Death. You say, is that what my reward is going to be, Pastor? My blessing is pork and beans? No. Is that you eat the pork and beans? You eat the pork and beans until God brings you some weenies to put in it. Come on, somebody needs to shout unto God. Amen. See, the problem is that you think there is no end to your pork and bean faith. You think there's no end to where you are. But I am telling you, the reason why you have not reached the end of it is because you've not reached the end to the faith that God is trying to build in your life. Darling, if you're not learning on Tuesday what you were supposed to learn on Tuesday, what God gave you, you still have not learned the lesson. Why would God keep moving you along and growing you into a weenie faith, into a pork and bean and weenie faith, when you still are complaining about the pork and beans that you're eating every day? God's not going to move you along and graduate you into a higher level until you learn to change your tongue of faith in your mouth, until you take that smallest member and get a control of it and begin to say, God, sanctify my tongue. Sanctify it that nothing else comes out of it except the word of the unadulterated word of God, and nothing else comes out of it except your holy praise and thankfulness for the pork and beans. Amen. I said to myself when I left home, I'll never eat another bean in my life. We had beans in the morning with syrup on it, with cornbread. That was breakfast. And then beans at night. Amen. With onions and greens. And I said, I'll never eat another bean as long as I live. Are you hearing me? But anybody want to know what my favorite meal is? beans and cornbread. Because I came to a place in my life, I was thankful. I learned to be thankful. Abraham learned to be patient in the season and embrace the faith that he had for that time. He learned through the mistakes, but did not become weary and weakened because of his situation. See, Abraham realized that God was growing him into it. And God finally visited him and said, a year from now, Sarah, you are going to have the seed that I have promised. At that moment, she fell back laughing. And you can interpret it any way you want to, but how many knows when the promise is now faced with you, anytime that God speaks to you, it's always bigger than your human mind. It's always bigger than how you can reason. But I want you to know today that God does not need your belief system to be who he is. Sometimes God, in spite of ourselves, in spite of our ignorance, in spite of our stubbornness, God still sometimes teaches us that I'm still God. And a year from that point, he gave birth to the seed. But see, here's the kicker. The promise and the power of the whole thing was not in the child. See, the power was in the promise. The life was in the promise. And when he lived out the promise, the child came. Amen. See, some of us are still stuck on Hagar and Ishmael of our life. You know who Hagar is. You know who Ishmael is. He's not the seed of faith. He brought some joy to daddy's heart for a while. Yay! I finally hit the will of God's been done. I've got my son. I've got my heir. God says, no. What? Oh, he fell in love with him. See, we think because of all of our good feelings and wow, it's finally happened, that it's done. Sarah's good plan resulted in a child being cast out into the desert. See, some of us think, well, that's hard. Well, what is harder? Getting rid of the thing that is persecuting the seed of faith in your life, or living with it and letting both of them die. And you dying, not in promise, but dying not seeing the will of God completely fulfilled in your life. See, every day, God gives you faith to not only believe to get rid of the negative things in your life, but God also gives you faith to take a hold of the promises that are in your life. Amen? Because every day you take an inventory. See, the one thing that I've learned from my mother, who was a genius at cleaning, but my mother had the same problem. Amen, that a lot of women do. And it's, some guys have the problem. Some guys have the problem. I don't have that problem. Except in my office. We hate throwing things away. How many hate throwing things away? How many have things right now that you have looked at for years? Amen. You haven't used it. It has no value in your life except maybe it holds that memory. Aunt Padino Dunker gave that to me on our 30th winter anniversary, and it was so sweet. There it sat, collecting dust. I trip over it at least twice a week. But I don't have the strength to pick it up and say, goodbye. Amen. See, God gives us faith not only to get rid of the things in our life, because there's things in our life that are keeping you from the fulfillment every day
of you walking in joy. Because here's the promise of God in John 10 and 10. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his job. I said, that's his job. It's not our job to come into agreement with him, though. You know what I mean? Amen. We come into agreement with the thief. Hey, come on in. I know you were kicked out of heaven. You've not had a good life. But just come on in. Take my kids. Take my money. Do whatever. You said, Pastor, that is so ridiculous and silly. But the truth of it is, God's given you faith to discern those things that are constantly stealing from you every day. He's given you a measure of faith. And let me say something to you today. Turn to somebody right now and say, there's a seed of faith in you. And that seed of faith in you, God doesn't remove it out of you. It either stays as a mustard seed. Are you listening to me? Stays as a mustard seed, or you exercise and that seed of faith grows in your life. Amen? There we were. We're not going to get to Elijah today. Amen? Faith for the journey. God will give you faith that will sustain you for the season that you're in. To ask and to want faith for something that you're not called to do. Look at it in Romans chapter 12. I'll eventually get there, I promise you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Number 2, it's our reasonable service to prove out what is the perfect, the good, perfect plan of God, will of God for our life. Verse 3 tells us that he has given us a measure of faith. And then he begins to lay out that he has given you faith. If you have been given a gift of prophesying, then he said, prophesy. Wow, isn't that a revelation? He said, if you have a gift of administration and you have a gift of money, then you need to move in that gift. Can I share with you real quick the reason why Abraham, you know what his whole life was about? His whole life was about one thing. Not many things, but one thing. See, we get lost in how rich he is and how many cattle he had and how many things he had and all this and all that. But really, God only gave him one thing to do. Amen? Have a baby! See, now you're looking at me like it's got to be more than that, Pastor. Don't you have anything rich to give us? No. He gave him one thing to do. Is that true or is that not true? He said, I'm giving you one thing to do. Have a baby. Well, Lord, doing it, but there ain't no baby. Can I tell you something? God, you got to go back and reread the vision. He said, Abraham, do your part, and I will bless your seed. I will give you that seed. We want to do what only God can do, and what God is saying for us to do is to be obedient in the one thing that he's called us to do. That is in correlation with Matthew chapter 6 in this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things shall be added unto you. Here's the thing. Do what God's called you to do, and then God will bless you with all the rest. We want to get blessed with all the rest, but we don't want to do the one thing that God has called us to do. See, the next question is this. Well, Pastor, I don't know what God wants me to do. Amen? How many can say amen? Well, I think, well, I kind of like doing this, and I kind of like doing that. Let me ask you a question today as I close. Who knows what you're supposed to be doing? That's who you need to get to know. You don't need somebody else to tell you. You need God to tell you what He's called you to do. See, some of you think because you're good at something, that's what God's called you to do. The problem with some of you, you're good at a lot of things. But let me tell you something. There's only one thing that you're called to do. And every time you get outside of that calling, you produce confusion, you produce Hagars, and you produce Ishmaels in your life. When it comes time, and you're there where God's called you, the faith will be there to do whatever God has called you to do. Come on. How many will say, Pastor, I want to do what God has called me to do? See, God spoke to me and said, this is the season of releasing individuals. We have worked and labored to lay the foundation here in this house. But we've arrived at a place to where people need to be released into their gifts and into their callings. Amen? What's that going to do? Well, number one is, it's going to produce a faith life in you that you've never, never experienced before. Amen. A joy and a happiness. See, some of you are afraid. Like, well, if I obey God, Pastor, does that mean I'm going to have to give up doing what I'm doing? No, what I'm saying to you is this, is that, and I love what I heard a man say is this, is that your work can be your worship. Your work can be your worship. See, God may not have called you to stand behind a pulpit and preach His Word, but God may have called you to be a teacher in the high school. God may have called you to teach some young teenage girls year after year, wondering why you are doing what you're doing, but realizing year after year, you're doing what God has called you to do. Scott's been doing this for decades, and out of it, God has produced harvest after harvest of young ladies that have been touched by the kingdom of God. He may have not started that way, but that's how he's ending up his life, is Jesus is first. Are you hearing me? See, we think, how can God be in selling houses, or how can God be in just me being at home, or how can God be in me working at Tyson's? I can tell you how God can be in it. Because you decide to make your work your worship. And when you decide to make your work your worship, when you decide to let God be in that thing you're doing now, out of it, God will reveal your passion. See, you think that full-time is the ultimate, but no, it's not. What the ultimate is knowing you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. Amen. And God has given you faith for that today. Come on. Let me ask you a question. What has God spoke to you today in this message? What has God said to you? What has God stirred in your heart today? I pray that the faith in what is in my heart has been relayed to you. Quit reaching into an area that is not yours and begin to take what is yours today. Quit diminishing who you are because God has created you who you are. If God wanted you different, He'd make sure somebody come along and make you different. Or He would give you the desire for that. See, sometimes wives and husbands have this one problem, and that is we want certain people to be a certain way. We want our spouse to be a certain way. We want them to look a certain way. We want them to be a certain way. But what you have to learn is this. You've got to learn to be who you are and be who you are to the person that God has given you to. And be grateful and thankful for that and celebrate the life that you have. Let me me tell you something, married couples. There's ladies in this church and guys in this church that would give anything to have what you have. A spouse. Somebody that you could talk to every day. Somebody that you could share your life with. You as couples need to be an example of this church to the singles in this church, to come into agreement with them for the godly spouse that God has meant for their life, if that's what they desire. Marriage doesn't mean it's for everybody. I know that's what people project all the time. But there are certain people that marriage isn't for them. God has a distinctive call for their life to be committed to ministry solely, completely. Amen? But we need to be an example. Amen? We don't want our singles looking at us and saying, well, that's what marriage is. I don't want that. Not true. Hey, that is some sour looking people right there. I bet that's a joy, a hallelujah house right there. Whew. I don't even want to be a fly on that house. Jeez. To know what they're doing. Amen? But God's giving you faith for today. Come on, say it with me. God's giving me faith for today. God's not giving me faith for Monday. If I take care of Sunday, when I awake Monday, brand new mercy, brand new faith for that day. Do you know that's why Jesus prayed, give us this day our daily bread? That's why when God spoke to Moses and said, don't take any more manna than you need for today. Are you hearing me? Stand with me. Amen.